I said, your family, if you're new today, you're part of this family, part of the family of God. So I just want to encourage you, you know, let's be a bit brave and come and sit a bit closer and not so spread out. No, you like to be where, you like to be spread out. Oh, I just want to tell you that I just so love you all, and I want to feel really close to you, because this is a part of the body of Christ that I'm not always part of. So today it's a great privilege to be here. And I just want to tell you that you're beautiful. You're a beautiful church and a beautiful people. This morning I'm going to speak about transformation. And transformation is a process. It just doesn't happen. It's a process. So who feels sometimes as though, you know, where am I? Am I growing? Is there any fruit in my life? You know, I just feel really as though nothing's working for me. No, only me? Don't worry, it's a process. It is just a process. It's a beautiful process that God has planned throughout the ages, and is bringing the church to a fruitful and a beautiful place. So we can look at the world round about us and feel like, where's the joy? Where's the happiness? Where's it working out? Nothing seems to be working out. But it's okay. God knows exactly what he's doing. It's all on time, and he is doing a beautiful work worldwide in his people of preparation to declare to the world who he is. And the Lord started in a garden. And we know the scripture in Genesis. It says, the Lord God planted a garden. And we know that he put Adam and Eve in the garden. And throughout the Word of God, he talks about the analogy of a garden. The garden is a beautiful place, but it's also a place of life, and it's a place of death. I love my garden, and I love to sit in the garden and look around, but you see the leaves that have fallen off the tree. You see the flowers that have bloomed and now they've died. You see the new buds appearing. It's just a beautiful place to be able to sit. And I wanted to, you've heard many times the story of the caterpillar turning into a butterfly. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about that, because I know that that's very familiar. But I want to tell you that there's nothing about the caterpillar that looks anything like a butterfly. There's nothing like a lump of coal that looks anything like a diamond. But under the pressure of the earth, it becomes a diamond. There's nothing in a flower that looks like the seed. When the seeds come on my orange tree, they don't look anything like an orange. But the orange comes. Bless that tree. Every year, there are oranges on that tree. Every year, the little shoots start to appear. I like to sow seeds in certain parts of my garden and just wait for the spring, and then they start to shoot up. Last year was quite strange. I don't know what happened to me, but I forgot that I put the seeds in, and when they first appeared, I thought they were weeds, and I pulled a lot of them out. And then after a while, I noticed, hey, the ones that escaped me tidying them up, they actually flowered. So, but the seeds and even the little shoots don't look anything like the flower. And so in you today, I want to tell you there is a beautiful seed, and that seed is Christ. And sometimes we don't look like Christ. Sometimes when we lose it, get angry, get annoyed, agitated, frustrated, all the different emotions that come within us don't look like Christ. But within us is a seed that is developing and it's going to look like Christ. So the caterpillar doesn't look like a butterfly. And when that caterpillar eating and eating and eating and eating and eating all our plants, and then finally it falls asleep and it spins itself into a cocoon. Do you know that that caterpillar has to become absolute liquid before it will become a butterfly? Liquid. It is a gooey liquid. No, doesn't even represent a caterpillar. Doesn't represent anything. But in that liquid is everything that's going to make it a butterfly. Isn't that so beautiful? Because within you is everything that's going to make Christ appear in his body. And it's in you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. He came to show us the way. And that way is often and usually through brokenness. I'd like to tell you that it's dancing all the way, but I have discovered in my life that it's not. And in the lives of many of his precious people, I have seen the way is through brokenness. Christ went to the cross, and when he appeared on resurrection day in transformation. The transforming had to be through the cross. And for that transforming, for him to do that work and to be that sacrifice. And so it is in our lives. For Christ to appear in us, there will be a sacrifice. Some of the darkest things that we go through bring forth the most light in our life. We all go through things. There's no easy way. But just make sure that everything we're going through is working towards seeing the goodness of God. It's not about just going through something. It's about letting him appear in the midst of it. As we yield, as we give, and as we sit with him. 2 years ago, in fact 2 years ago next weekend, our dear little grandson, 12 years old, who was brain damaged, passed away very suddenly, and it was a real shock for this to happen. As a family, we were devastated. We loved Matthew. Matthew was precious. Matthew was vulnerable. Matthew needed people to look after him. And so we all were part of a plan of looking after and Matthew and loving on him, stroking his hand when we visited and saw him. For Peter and I, it was a twofold tragedy because then we saw the agony of what our dear Christopher, who's our son, and our dear Julia, our daughter-in-law, we saw the pain that they suffered. We saw the pain that their other two children suffered at the loss of little Matthew. We called him Maddie. So at the loss of Maddie, in that time of tragedy, I just wanted to run and sit by myself. I didn't know where to go. I couldn't go to them because they were already suffering their own story. So even though we clung together as a family, we had to be strong for them, to watch them go through what they needed to go through, the process. In that time, as I sat alone, night after night, I just wanted to sit in my study and spend time with God. There was only place I could find any sense of solace or peace. But in that time, Peter and I, Julia and Chris, and the whole family came into a whole new place in God. We came into a place of a more settled place. It was a different place. It was a place of knowing that we found peace, where we could sit, meditate in quietness. I have been in church life since I can't remember when I never was. I loved the Lord. I've pastored, I've led, I've done all sorts of things. And it was all good. It all had its place. But in that quietness, I found the God who dwells in silence. I found the God who gives peace. I found the God of peace and quietness. I want to encourage you, because I know that you're all going through things. I know that you've all got agonies in your hearts over something. There are people in this place that have lost all different things. Find God. Find peace. Find solace. And find God in the quietness of your soul. God dwells within you. He is deep inside of you. And it's touching that quietness within you that will bring peace and solace in the time of trouble. I would like to say that the loss of Matthew was the one thing we went through that year, but it wasn't. My another son, his wife, walked out and left him with absolutely no hint of problem beforehand. And yes, she had found someone else, because I know that straight away that's what you're thinking when a young woman walks out of a good 12-year marriage. Once again, we were now holding another son in our arms. We were now trying to console another member of our family. Again, finding the God within. Finding the peace that only God can bring in the midst of when you feel your world is falling apart. Just to add to it all, my mum, darling mum, 90 odd years old, became very demented. This was very hard for us. This was a woman who prayed for nearly almost anybody I ever asked her to. She prayed for pastors and leaders and people, and she didn't pray for you for 5 minutes. She prayed for you for 20 years. If you asked Mother to pray, she prayed. And to see my darling mum in such a place where she couldn't remember whether she'd had her breakfast or whether she had not had it, but the one thing she always remembered was her prayers. She hung on to her prayers. It was a difficult year, but I found God. I found him afresh. This is not a testimony of a new believer finding God. This is a testimony of a woman who has prayed and has believed and has pastored and has been in God for many, many, many years, since she was a very, very young woman. But I want to tell you today, I found God. I truly found God. I found the God that dwelt within me. I found the God that dwelt in silence. I found the God who didn't just give me a clip answer, but ached and mourned with me. And he didn't take away the pain. You remember when Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked that he might sift you, but I will be praying for you. Job wasn't taken out of the circumstances, but he was being prayed for. I knew I was being prayed for. You know that even amongst the body of Christ, and sadly, oh, I'm going to be very careful moving around here because this, I noticed it goes down. I want to tell you that even amongst the body of Christ, I would like to tell you that everybody knew what to say. Everybody said the right word to me. But unfortunately, I cannot say that. I can only tell you that people put their foot in it. People said the wrong things. People said things that hurt and left me feeling like I just wanted to run and cry again. Yes, there were those that loved and stayed and hugged and said little. And you know, sometimes in the midst of pain, that's the best place to be. Just to hold somebody. Just to reach out and put your hand on their shoulder. Not trying to find the right words that will probably not be right at all. Because they might have been right for you, but they would not necessarily have been right for me. People said things, lovely things. They said, oh, just imagine Matthew's running and singing and he's happy and he's not in pain anymore. But we missed him. He'd gone. We didn't have him anymore. And we loved him just exactly the way he was. Did people say the wrong things? Yes. But I want to say to you, when you come and you meet someone that's in pain, you don't have to find the right words. You just have to hold them. And that's what I felt Christ did for me. When I sat in that study, when we held each other, when we sat there night after night sitting in quietness, we found the God that dwelt in silence, full of love, full of compassion, and with a great understanding of what we were feeling. And in that place, I came into a new place of prayer. I came into a place of prayer where you don't have to say anything. So, that's not to negate that we have our place of prayer where we talk and we tell God the things that we need. There's a place for it all. It doesn't take away from the place of praying for deliverance and hope and all those prayers that we pray. But there is a prayer of quietness. There is a prayer of sitting, having some gentle music, just sitting and listening. And going out into the garden and looking at a beautiful flower. And taking time just to say, I went out one morning and I noticed one of the roses had come out. And I said to the rose, thank you for blooming today. Do we take time to really enjoy the world around us? Do we take time to look at a beautiful butterfly and know that when it laid down its life as a caterpillar, it didn't even know what it was going to appear as? And sometimes we don't even know what we're going to appear as. When we're in a place of pain and agony and crying and despair at the circumstances, we don't know what's going to appear. We can't see what it's going to be like in 2 years' time when we can actually rejoice and be glad and know that our beloveds are sitting with the Lord and to know that they're being held in the arms of our God. We don't know that place because we haven't arrived there yet. The butterfly had not appeared, but the caterpillar became a gooey, runny mess. And trust me, I was not a good thing. I was a gooey, messy mess. And when you feel like you're a gooey, messy mess, that you're just like a liquid that's being poured out, that you're drained and you don't have anything more to give to anybody, sit and wait. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know who He is. And He will appear and He will love on you and He will hold you and He will be there for you. After the cross, He came to the disciples. And it tells us in John. I love John. John is my favourite book, I think. But I do love Philippians and Colossians as well. But I do think John is my favourite. And in John, we have four appearances of Christ. That's more than any of the other Gospels. And so we look at John. John was the beloved. John was the one that laid on the breast of Jesus. Do we ever take time to do that? Just to be there. And so it tells us in John that He breathed upon them that breath. It's like a perfume. It's the perfume. It's the breath of God. Do you ever wonder what the perfume of God is? Smell a rose. Have you ever thought of the miracle of the rose? Not only is it beautiful and soft and it opens up and every day you can watch it open because it opens so slowly and it's so beautiful, but you can smell it. And it says the most beautiful perfume. And there's other flowers in the garden that have a beautiful perfume. I want to encourage you today. Walk in the garden. Take time to breathe in the beautiful air. Put your troubles aside and watch and pray and walk with Him in the garden. In the book of John, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. And when He appeared, she mistook Him for the gardener. And you know the story. And then He said her name. He said, Mary. Other than when Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, if you do a study, you will find that He never called any other person by name. No, He didn't call any of the women. He always called them woman. He called Lazarus by name. And He called Mary by name. And He will call you by name. Take time. Take time to give Him time to call you by name. He knows your name. He knows everything about you. And He loves you. In anything that you're going through, He will be there and He will call you by name. Just let that settle for a minute. Just think about that. He appeared to the 12 and He appeared to Thomas. And when He appeared to Thomas, He showed him the wounds. The wound in his side and the wounds in his hands and feet. Yes, many times we go through things and we carry the wounds. That doesn't mean we don't have forgiveness. That doesn't mean that we haven't travelled on. Just means that we bring with us some of the wounds with us. Jesus still had the wounds. He was human, and we are human. But do you know that our wounds and our pain can sometimes be the thing that ministers to more people than we realise? We can minister because we too have suffered. Because everything about our children didn't go exactly the way we thought it would. Every plan for them didn't quite work out. They were stubborn. Some were rebellious. We can help another because we too know how it feels. This morning, I sense that this message has touched your hearts. But if you are in a place of brokenness today, I'm not going to say to you, move on. I have come to a place where I don't like that sentence. I don't like people to say, move on. We are all travelling on. Our wounds are not necessarily our baggage. We can look on them as our baggage, or we can look on them as the experiences that have changed our lives and made us into more Christ-like, have helped us to understand the mystery of Christ that's been fully formed in us. If you would like prayer or ministry today, come. Just come. I think Irene looks as though she's something she'd like to share. Yes, please. Please.
Yesterday, whole day, you know, how Pastor is not around. You know, no doubt in the house it's only two of us. But sometimes, you know, when you are alone, sometimes it is good. And I'm not saying I don't miss him, all right, don't get it wrong. But it's just the quietness, the stillness. And I remember just putting on the Christian music, just sitting there. I remember sitting for hours and hours just listening to the music. And some I even go to the YouTube where they have 2 hours of truly worship. Now, don't simply go to anything, all right? But go to one that really is just worship. And I just sat there. I just, you know, enjoy the stillness of God. I don't have to cook. I don't have to do anything. You know, I just, you know, it is a rare occasion. All right, it's really a rare occasion. And I think many times it's the stillness that we don't run to anything, but just staying and be still and know that He is God. Amen. And even as our, you know, sisters, Susan said that if anybody need prayer, I believe that some of you are going through difficult times. That is only in the presence of God you get the strength. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I thank Him for this opportunity. If that is you today, come.